Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I want to do a little bit of an overlap from what we had, had looked at last time. And there's a reason for that. The Lord's given me some stuff here and helped me out. And I think it's important for every one of us to understand how to handle certain things. Because if you don't know how to handle certain things, you make a bigger mess. And not only if you don't make a bigger mess, you'll be a bigger mess. Two different things, right? Sometimes because you be a bigger mess, you make a bigger mess. Sometimes you make a bigger mess and become a bigger mess in the middle of the bigger mess you made. Sometimes you're smart enough and wise enough not to make a bigger mess, but you're introverting your issues and you are a bigger mess. And what I'm saying is, in reference to verses 21 and 22, he said, "Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others." It's really a dangerous thing to pay attention to what people are saying. Here's the weird thing. Even if you're not searching it out, usually it gets back to you. I think it's very demonic. I will be looking at it on Sunday morning. I don't know whether or not I'll get into it, but I am studying right now for Sunday morning, and whether or not it'll come out in the message, it's not possible for me to always give you everything that I see or learn and get into. As I study, I get into, you know, every verse and all the details and then try to pull an outline and a message and a theme out of that, and it's not possible to connect to give everything that's in there, if that makes sense. But one of the things we're looking at is that the Pharisees accused Jesus Christ of casting out devils by Beelzebub, which is the prince of the devils, right? Which, by Lucifer casting out devils. And the interesting thing is Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. When it comes to devils, demons are not in the Bible. The word demon is a transliteration of the Greek word devil. And it's funny, all your new Bibles say they're getting you closer to the originals and they're lying to you, because that word in Greek means devils. So demons are just a substitute word that doesn't exist. What they are is devils. And so he said, "You cast out the devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies." Devils are small. I mean, there were seven in Mary. There was legion in the demoniac of Gadara, right? How can 1,000 devils, if they look like angels, if they're the size of a grown man, 1,000 of them don't fit. They can be tiny, like mosquitoes, like flies, like winged birds. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. And when you look at what a cherub is, they always have wings. Angels don't have wings. Angels look like matured but young men, adult men, probably in your early 30s. That's what an angel would look like, no wings. Cherubs have wings. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was winged. And so the devils, you say, how does that work? The same way there's one Son of God, right? Jesus Christ. But what are you? Sons of God, right? There's one Lord, but there's many lords with a small L. There's one God, but there are many gods with a small G. There's one devil, but there are many devils. So They're nasty little things, and they can go undetected, and they can cause all kinds of trouble. And I think they make sure you hear things. Lord said, "I saw Lucifer fall as light," you know, as lightning, remember that? And that connection with your electronics and how you can, with the right receiver, you can tune all kinds of things in. Here's the problem. Most of the time, most people want to know what other people are saying about them. The more you try to stare at me with a poker face, the more you look guilty. I got kids, man. I learn how to read it, you know? You want to know. What'd he say about me? Good or bad? If it's good, it goes to your head. If it's bad, where does it go? To your heart. Christians don't stab you in the back. That's a baloney. "Oh, he stabbed me in the back." No, no, no. You know where they stab you? They stab you in the heart. Now, at work, you expect people to talk about you because they're lost, and it still bothers you to death. But you don't expect it in church. And yet, you know what they do? They talk about you. So the devil makes sure, maybe it's just a unique thing for pastors, because it's been my experience for 11 years, almost 12 years now when you add the two churches together. It's been my experience that I find out, I hear stuff, man, and I've tuned out, so I don't hear as much anymore. Why? Because I learned by experience, I don't want to find out. I don't want to know. My job is not to be the detective of the church. My job is not to learn how to stand in one place and read lips across the room to know what everybody's saying all the time. It doesn't do me any good. It hurts me more than it helps me. The wisdom here is, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken. Why? Because you're going to hear your servant, oh, yes, sir, sure. What, anything else I can do for you? Oh, I did a good job, thank you. Was that to your satisfaction? Okay, good. And then you're going to hear him over there in the corner cussing you. You're like, wow, I thought everything was fine. I thought he liked me. What's going on? And the devil will get in there and get at your heart. Here's the thing about people. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. And this is human nature. This isn't to put people down. This is just to understand and be well equipped for these kind of situations, and then to turn it around and see ourselves clearly the way the Lord would have us to see ourselves, so that we don't become the one stabbing somebody in the heart. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 30. Ezekiel 33:30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Now I say that with that tone of voice on purpose. Oh, come to our church. Oh, he just preaches the word of God. It's just Bible. It's just the word of God. Come hear the word of God preached. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. Oh, he's such a great preacher. Oh, you just got to come hear Ezekiel. Oh, Ezekiel's in town. Oh, my goodness. Ezekiel. Oh, he looked at me. He smiled. He shook my hand. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. You know what he said to Ezekiel? Listen, bro. Want you to know something. Watch the weird thing about this. I don't know if you caught it or if you missed it. Did anybody write it, notice anything weird about the way this whole thing was set up? Verse 30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking how? Against thee. Where did you see them say anything against him? Everything they were saying is, oh, you got to come hear him. Oh, he's so great. Oh, he's such an awesome preacher. He's got such a pleasant voice. But it was pure hypocrisy. So while they're saying one, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth is what that's showing you. While they're saying on one hand, he's a great preacher and he gives us the Bible and he gives us the word of the Lord and he's so good at what he does and oh, his stories are so funny and his illustrations are so great and oh, he's so crazy and he's this and that. On the other side of their mouth, they're like, yeah, but he takes that too far. Yeah, but that's just a little extreme. Yeah, but I mean, he might see it that way, but I don't see it that way. And so what they're doing is they're acting like they're accepting the words of God. And on the flip side of that coin, they're like, yeah, but the way I see it is. And they're speaking against him. This is human nature. This is why it's important to tune people out even when they're flattering you. Because honestly, Satan himself has a silver tongue. The biggest problem you and I have is that we believe people when they say good things about us, and we don't believe them when they say bad things about us. Amen. That's real good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Go to Romans chapter 2. Here's what we got to remember. Romans chapter 2. So you got to be careful. You got to be real careful about tuning in too much to what everybody's saying. And again, I won't run this down, but again, you're in that generation where you are enabled and equipped, and it is literally, listen to this, it is literally a lust that will be fed in your soul. It's a lust of knowing what's going on, knowing who said what, knowing what's happening over there, what's happening in their life, what did they say about me, what did they think of this, what did they think of that, what do I have to say about them? It's literally a lust, and the devil will feed that lust, and you're in a generation where that thing can be fed from more avenues. And listen, they're making so much money on creating new avenues to plug you into everybody else. I think about that quite often. Look, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you wouldn't have even known about churches that were on the other side of this country. You'd have been stuck with your local pastor that God gave you, and that's all you'd have known, and the people God gave you to worship with, and that's all you'd have known. You wouldn't have been tuned into everybody else's church and everybody else's life and everybody else's family. And you can see the results that's going on in our culture, even in our churches. The flies and the mosquitoes are buzzing around, poking people, and there's distractions and itches everywhere, bugging you and bugging you and bugging you, and all kinds of them little maggots in your trash all over the churches of God, and we wonder why there's no cool, clear water. You can't drink nice, cool, clear. A preacher can show up and dump all the cool, clear water in a 50-gallon trash can that he wants, but you ain't going to get much good out of it if it's full of flies and maggots. Amen. And what is that? It's listening too much to what everybody, being tuned in too much. I'm not saying we shouldn't be friends and fellowship and talk and whatnot, but being too much tuned into each other will cause destruction in the church. It'll cause a lot of hurt feelings. Be real careful. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. Huh? Did you get offended by what somebody else said to you or about you? Did you? And you're all ready to just, that's just so unfair, and I'm going to go to preacher, and we're going to deal with this. Well, you better slow down a second. You better slow down a second. Because what if we go ahead and turn the table? Did you criticize them too? Or have you done it to somebody else? Be real careful. I've been in churches where people pick on each other about their wives, people pick on each other about their husbands, people pick on each other about their kids. Listen, I need to talk to you. Your wife. What are you, nuts? What are you, crazy? Are you asking for trouble? Are you trying to say, I got a great idea, honey, since I hate you so much, I'm going to put a bullseye on you so everybody in the church can start shooting at you 24. So, well, that's what you do when you go shoot at somebody else's wife. Where did the charity go in the church? Where did the love go in the church? Where did the grace go in the church? Where are the grown-ups? Why are churches acting like youth groups? Some youth groups act better than churches, the church members, to be honest with you. Why are we acting like Sunday school? Difference between those kids and us, they'll scream and yell at each other and get mad over a swing, and then they'll forget it by the very next service. But mommy or daddy will get all offended and come marching in here and chew out somebody else's, some other kid's parent, and let them know how terrible, and that parent ain't going to forget for weeks, months, and even years. Be careful. Why? Because when you judge somebody else, you're condemning yourself. Why? Because you've done the same exact thing. So before you take it too much to heart and get too hurt, remember, I probably had that coming. That helps me, man. Maybe I'm weird and whacked in the head and everybody says I am, so I'll take it. I'll own it, man. But it helps me. When somebody hurts me and the Holy Spirit goes, yeah, but do you remember what you said about brother so-and-so? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I had that coming. We're cool. Lord, tell him to leave me alone or I'll kill him next time. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? He's saying, you want to bring heavy, heavy and hammer on everybody else? It's like the guy that's addicted to cigarettes busting on the guy that's addicted to alcohol, and the guy that's addicted to alcohol busting on the guy that's addicted to heroin, and the guy that's addicted to heroin busting on the guy that's addicted to pornography. It's the same exact thing. But we'll do it with stuff like this because the deepest wounds are truly made with the tongue. Let me show you something. I want to show you how to handle it when somebody messes with you. Go to Genesis chapter 31. If they're saved, you're in church and somebody is a supplanter, they're a conniver, they're a dirty, rotten dog. My preacher said this, and it's true. A man stabs you in the back once, he'll do it again. It's true. In my experience, it's true. I'm not saying nobody, everybody, you know, a backstabber can't possibly change or grow. I'm not saying that. I'm saying for the most part, when a man will stab you in the back once, he will do it again. Okay? What do you do about it? Because again, we say stabbed in the back, but it really stabs you in the heart, right? You hear somebody busting on you and criticizing you and talking about you. Genesis 31, look at verse 24. Here's what God says to Laban the Syrian regarding Jacob, the supplanter, Jacob, the conniver, Jacob, the crook. Jacob was a stinking crook. He was a low down, no good for nothing. Look, he stole his brother's spiritual blessing to benefit himself. And he did it when his brother was the weakest, the most hungry. He saw his opportunity when his flesh was at the bottom, and he set him up to steal his blessing and got it. Walked away successful. Now, no wonder Esau wanted to kill him, right? Ouch. And then he goes down there to Laban, and instead of just going down there to Laban and being faithful, what's he do? He starts backstabbing and conniving and supplanting and tricking. He and Laban deserved each other. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. Jacob and Laban deserved each other. Like, don't listen to when they speak against you, because don't forget you've done it yourself. Sometimes we deserve the people that hurt us so bad because we can't see ourselves until we're in a little bit of pain. Jacob and Laban deserved each other. And then Jacob pulls a fast move and takes off with his daughters and his grandchildren and all the stuff he benefited from. How bad did that hurt Laban? There's that backstabber, man. When a man does it once, he'll do it again. And there he did it again. And now he's heading back home. And Laban's like, all right, man, I'm going to get him. And God intervenes in Genesis 31:24. And God came into Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. But God, you don't know what he did to me. God's like, oh yeah, I do. But God, this ain't fair. Yeah, I know. You had it coming too. So before you want me to jump in on your side and start busting up the person who was talking about you and taking them to the woodshed and beating the fire out of them, why don't you stop for a second and take a look at yourself? Because you might not be guilty exactly that way, but you were guilty another way of a very similar thing or something equally as bad. So I'll tell you what, when you catch up to Jacob, don't say anything to him, good or bad. So Laban went, caught up with Jacob, and ignored everything God said. And just, because he's just like you and me, he just began to just dump on Jacob. When he caught him, you can read it later. Laban overtakes him. What hast thou done? Verse 26. I have stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captive of the sword. God told me I can't do nothing about it, and you're lucky. Well, you just made it worse. They make a stupid little covenant between them that they won't pass over by good, and then Rachel gets involved in the whole situation with her lion following her husband's lousy leadership, and big mess, man. You know what God said to Laban? Jacob's mine. I know what a conniving, supplanting, low-down, no-good-for-nothing guy he is, but I'm going to change him from Jacob into Israel, a prince with God. And I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to meet him on this journey back. And what I'm going to do is he and I are going to wrestle. We are going to have it out. And when I get a hold of him, he ain't never going to walk the same again. He's going to be weaker the rest of his life, unable to connive, unable to supplant. I'm going to cripple that boy. And then he's going to lean on me. He's going to lean on the staff. He's going to lean on me all the way to his old age, onto his deathbed. He'll still be leaning on me. I will take care of him. Don't say anything to him, good or bad. What do I do when somebody talks bad about me? I'll give you the advice that a preacher gave me years ago, and I about had his head. Take it. I said, you mean that since I'm a born-again Christian, God requires me to be a rug and let somebody wipe their feet on me? He said, yep. Blinked like that, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not a girly preacher like you. I was in my 20s. This is a long time ago. And I've never forgot that. I remember where I was standing, and he wasn't even a King James Bible guy. So I threw away everything he said because he ain't a King James Bible guy, and he's a girly man anyhow, and he's one of those frilly little. But you know what he was? He was right. I've had to learn that the hard way. I wish I'd have learned it a long time ago and recognized the truth and just got in line with it rather than waiting for God to get done stomping me out to the point where it's like, okay, now I got a choice. I can either take this and have God's presence in my life, or I can fight this and just go on the rest of my life in ministry without the Lord. I wish I'd have accepted it back then. It would have saved me a ton of heartache. But instead, what did I do? Why, like Ezekiel chapter 30, 33, whatever it was. And I walked out of there not accepting it because I didn't like the message. God said, leave him alone. Well, you know what he did to me? Well, be a bigger Christian. Well, you know what they said about me? Well, be the bigger Christian. Well, I can't believe that they be the bigger Christian. Listen, Miss Grace and I aren't like totally clueless. We have children, and y'all treat our kids great. So this is nothing, nothing has happened that this is coming from, okay? Ours are getting older now. We had little kids in the church. Some families that most of you don't even know were in the church with their little kids, the age of our little kids. We've been in church our whole lives, so we were in church before we pastored with little kids. We know exactly how it feels to have somebody walk up to you, your daughter, and what you guys need, and go, okay. And as soon as the brethren turn around and walk away, we're looking at each other like, do they not realize that their kids are the biggest hellions in the church? And everybody wants to grab up their little kid and beat the fire out of them? Because those are the conversations going around? And they just chewed our face off over a 3-year-old little girl. That kind of thing, if you're following me. It's really, really, really hard. And that's a testing moment for mommy and daddy. To go, okay, well, I'm sorry that she did that. We'll take care of it. Thank you very much. And you know what you want to say? Well, you pompous jerk. Who in the world do you think you are? Get your own stinking family under control. You know, their little brat goes running by and just, I mean, literally, I've seen them run by where the little boys will run by and they make it a hobby out of punching people in the gut as they're running through the lobby. You know what I want to do? Oh, man, what happened? You know, boom, watch him go flying, just rug burned, face plant, all the way through the lobby, you little brat. Your dad ain't going to whoop you, I will. Yeah. Grab little girls by the pigtails and swing them around until they're off the ground and slam them on the floor. Yeah. And those same parents are the ones that will jump on you, and boy, your temper will just boom! I mean, inside you just ready to go, man. You want to see Mama Bear come alive? What's the right thing to do? Thank you, I'll take care of that. And don't take any heed to it. If you need to deal with your kid for your kid's sake. And don't take any heed to it. Why? Because, you know, I'm sure there's been a time or two where you were criticizing somebody else and, you know, they had teenagers. We've been there. Grace won't hide it. And they had teenagers. You're like, well, when our kids aren't teenagers, you don't know what you're talking about. You had a teenager yet, but we're sitting there, you know, we know how to handle teenagers. You ain't got a clue, man. So that's not as easy as it looks like it is. So you remember all the times that you did that, and you just go, oh, well, people are people, and we be people too. Why? You let it go. Why? Because it's a real wise thing to do when you're under the sun. Don't take heed to what they're saying, and remember what you've said. Amen. All right, go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I got the rest of this chapter ready, but I don't know that I'm going to get through the rest of this chapter tonight. I really believe that this is important, you guys, because we have a lot of kids around here. And it's not going to get easier as they get older. It's going to get more difficult. And so the really important thing is for the adults to understand how to handle the drama so that we don't make the little issues bigger issues. And then we also have to know how to be equipped in here so we aren't a mess, even if we're not making a mess. Follow all that? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know what God wants us to do? Have speech that's always with grace, seasoned with salt. That's hard, man. That is one easy thing to preach. That is one hard thing to live. Especially when you know what they said about you or what they just said to your face or what they've been saying behind your back. You want me to be nice to somebody that's been a jerk to me? I'll be honest with you, that ain't in the nature of Mike Reagan. But it is in the nature of God. Look at Matthew chapter 5. A couple more verses on this subject. Matthew chapter 5. And then I'm going to show you why it bothers us so much and how we can keep ourselves from becoming a mess, even if we're not making a mess. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 44. Here's a real tough one. This is easy preaching and tough living. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Are you nuts? That ain't the way this brain's wired. Not at all. Do good to them, bless them that curse you. Excuse me? Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Bro, I'm sorry, man, but that is some tough stuff for me. That's tough stuff. Go to 1 Peter. I don't know that I need to make a ton of comments on that. I think that one speaks a lot for itself. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 9. 1 Peter 3, 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know what God just said right there? If somebody is evil to you, don't give it back. If somebody rails on you, don't rail back. But instead, be a blessing to them. Why? Because I called you to it. That's what I did. That's what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying, I called you to it, Christian. That's what I did for you. That's the example I set you. You say you want to be a Christian. You say you want to be like me. You say you want my blessing on your life. You say you want all the good things I have to offer, but you don't want to go through the bad things I went through to take care of you. You want a close relationship, but you don't want to be like me. Not going to happen. That ye should do what? Inherit a blessing. Man, you know, it's one thing for me when I'm at it with somebody to go, all right, you done? Have a nice day. That's very hard for me. Very hard. You know what's even harder? To then go do them good. And God said, if you can learn to do somebody good when they did you wrong, you'll get a blessing. I don't want to bless them. So I robbed myself of a blessing God said I was going to inherit. James chapter 3. Right before Peter, Hebrews, James chapter 3. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive, that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Everybody wants to be the boss. Well, you're going to have a tougher judgment if you are. For in many things we offend all. That's part of having church, you guys, is getting offended and being offended in many things. If any man offend not in word, the same is the perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If I could ever control my tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Big old horse, you can handle it by just controlling his body. Here's another illustration. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. All right, there's two illustrations for you. Even so, now he's making the application. The tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It don't take a huge fire to burn a house down. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. You ever see somebody get mad and start cussing and going off and saying mean and hateful things to their spouse or their kids, or kids saying mean and hateful things to their siblings and doing it with all kinds of joy? Everything else is fine. It's just my tongue that's messed up. Don't work. When you start losing control of that tongue, your whole body's tore up. Your mood's tore up. Your mindset's tore up. It don't matter if the sun's shining, the birds are chirping, the grass is green. God's blessed you and given you a wife and given you kids and given you food in your belly. It don't matter. You're tore up. Can't see anything good. The tongue's a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Lord of the flies. He'll get in your tongue. For every kind of birds, of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? And you get in the car and you're on your way home and you're frustrated and you're hungry because you're hangry. It's past your time to eat. Pastor went a little too long today. And you start, and therewith curse we men. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Before the throne of God, amen, amen, God above. And then you're in the car on the way home and you're like, man, did you see them? What's wrong with them? Did you hear? Where was it? And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? In other words, are you going to drink good clean water out of a 50-gallon trash can full of flies and maggots? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, see, that's where it's at, guys. That's where it comes from. If somebody's been talking about you or hurting you or backstabbing you with their tongue, that you know what you know? You know that they have bitter envying and strife in their heart. So feel sorry for them. They're miserable, or they wouldn't have been talking about other people so negatively. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Well, there it is again. Isn't that weird how that theme keeps coming up? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. All right, so he's talking to us about the bitterness that is the tongue. And you live in a world that's absolutely full of bitterness. And can I say this? I understand why. Hurting people hurt people. And I'm telling you right now, everybody's hurting. Everybody's hurting. If you're a born-again Christian and you were in a somewhat of a Christian home or a halfway decent, solid home that was sort of standard. You know, you had a mom and a dad and whatnot. If you got a wife that loves you and she's been faithful to you, you've been faithful to her, you're married, you got kids, don't have kids, you're solidly in church, okay? You're a freak. You're a freak. In this culture, you're a freak. You are not normal. And there's a whole lot of people out there that have all kinds of reasons to be bitter and hateful and envious and full of strife and full of vitriolistic, nasty speech and attitudes and critical spirit. They have a lot. It's not right. It's wrong. It's of the devil. It destroys them in every way. But they have a lot of reason for it. But if you got God and you're saved and you're cleaned up and you're in church and you got a Christian home, you don't have as much excuse to be full of that garbage as everybody else does, because you're blessed. But you find it in that human nature that it doesn't matter how blessed we are, how good it is, we find it in our human nature, that devilish stuff, that stuff of enjoying talking about people, enjoying hearing negative news. Everybody loves negative news. That's why it's on there. When do you ever just turn on, you know, Fox News or CNN News and just, okay, folks, there's a list of awesome things happening today. Interest rates went down. Praise the Lord, ain't that great? And the economy's looking great. Congress actually came together on something and got a couple things figured out for us, which is really good news. And thankfully, we're pretty sure that Kim Jong-un is really, he's full of stuff that they go around and pick up after him so nobody can find it, you know. But he's full of it. They got nothing over there. And the United States military is stronger than it's ever been because Donald Trump's been doing a whole lot more behind the scenes for the United States military and not telling the world, because we want to make sure we get the job done. So you're more secure now than you've been in the last 20 years. Isn't that a blessing? Militarily speak, you never get that, because that doesn't do anything for your human nature. What do you get? Negative. And what do you like? Negative. It feeds itself. It's like a fire that feeds itself. When you start a conversation like that, you can keep that conversation going. You'll find it in your nature. You want to keep that negative conversation going. You watch out for it. So this world, they're hurting. I met a guy this week, invited him to church, and he said, "Well, I'll do my best, man. I'm a single dad." I said, "Oh, yeah, how old's your son?" 10. I said, "Oh, okay." So it's a lot, man, trying to keep up. I got to take him to ball practice and jiu-jitsu and this, that, and now I'm doing it all by myself. And I've had him since he was 2. So I'm sorry to hear that. And, man, he couldn't look at me. He's shifting. Big old monster ex-football player, just a monster mountain of a man. 43, 44 years old. Yeah, I stayed calm. I kept my voice quiet, stayed steady. I said, "I'm sorry to hear that." "Yeah, his mom's messed up, man. You could just see the pain. The pain. His mom's messed up, man. She can't help somebody else unless you help yourself. You know, you got to help yourself. And somebody's got to be there for the boy, and that's me. I got to be there for him." I said, "Well, you're a good dad. That's a blessing, man." "I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, do the best I can. It's rough, man. It ain't easy. The kid don't understand, man. He's only 10 years old. He don't get it. He don't understand. But I understand. She's having a hard time, man. She's been messed up. She's got to help herself, man. She can't seem to find help." And I said, "Well, love to have you come to church if you want to come. If you ever want to talk." And I said, "I'll remember to pray for you and for your son and for your ex." "Thanks, man. That's super cool. I'm gonna try to make it." They're hurting everywhere. But usually we don't get all that. We don't hear the story. All we see is the nastiness. And then what do as Christians? Well, we render evil for evil. We render railing for railing. Now, we ought to be able to do it for the lost, but, you know, it's one thing for me to be nice to you. How about being nice to my own? You're my own, my church family, I get that, but there's also a distinction between that and my blood. Right? My wife and my girls. So what kind of a hypocrite am I if I can do that for you because I'm your pastor and you give me a paycheck every week, but I can't do that at home? Same illustration. What kind of hypocrites are we if we would do that for the lost and everybody would say, "Yeah, amen," but when it comes to church, it's like, "Well, they're saved and they ought to know better." Yeah, that's true, and so should you. "Well, I don't do that." "Oh, I know. You're not the drunk, but you're a smoker." "Oh, I know. You're not the heroin addict, but you're a drunk. I know, you don't do that, but you do other things you shouldn't be doing as a born-again Christian. You have other thoughts and attitudes and things you know you're guilty of. So why can't we let it go when it's our own brethren? We're kind of hypocritical if we'll do that for the world and we won't do it for each other. Go to Mark chapter 7 and I'll wrap it up. I can show you exactly why, even if we don't make a big mess around us because we know how to hold our tongue, which I think for the most part, we have a church that does a good job with all this, to be honest with you. Again, I'm not trying to overdo it here, but I've been in church my entire life and I've been in lots of churches. Everything from the extreme, like we are, the extreme King James Bible, you know, pulpit pounding, you know, crowd, all the way over to complete Bob Jones, not even using the right Greek sources. I was a member of a church like that for over a year. To the in-between TR crowd, the big highfalutin school and the little country mountain church. I mean, I've been in a lot of cultures, a lot of states, a lot of churches. And all the, you know, the get-together and political meetings where everybody shows up. And, you know, I've seen all this stuff my whole life. The game of it, the pride of it, the education of it, the down-home country, let's have a blast and run around and scream and throw hymn books of it. I mean, all of it. It's all great, whatever. I'm not criticizing or commenting either way. I'm just telling you, I've seen all that. And I get it. And I honestly think, that our church is pretty good about not being too gossipy. I'll never forget, a while back, somebody came to our church and somebody else at the church said, well, just want you to know, this ain't one of those churches. So we don't talk about each other like that, so I'm not interested. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. That's exactly right. This ain't one of those churches, and we ain't going there. So take your little gossip and go put it in somebody else's trash can, because I know these things are big and they're getting uglier as time goes on, but they still ain't trash cans. Keep your garbage out of them. Amen. Right? Not look like trash to you, but I'm proud of them because I'm immature. Mark chapter 7, look at verse 19. Here's what it is. Look at verse 18. We're done here. I'm done. Just give me two more minutes. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth him. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Here's what I'm talking about. Why is it that when you hear somebody else speak evil of you, you're a mess and you're taking it to heart and it's bothering you so much? Well, because I can't believe they'd say something so hurtful. That's not the problem. I just can't believe. Okay, well, I'm not trying to be rude about this, but the reason you can't believe it is because you just ain't been sucking oxygen on this planet long enough. Because anybody who's been around sucking oxygen on this planet long enough gets to know how people are, and they don't get so shocked. Oh, I can't believe they'd say that. They're like, oh, yeah. And if they've been growing in the Lord, they're like, yeah, it's human nature. They didn't mean nothing by it. Something's going on. Let's pray for them. They're having a hard time. It ain't personal. They'll get over it. No big deal. Ah, yeah, I remember when I criticized them. If you're really walking in the Spirit and in tune with the Lord, you hear it, and he says, yeah, but don't forget. And you're like, oh, I remember that, Lord. Yeah, thanks. So I'm good. See? I can't believe. No, I don't think that's really the problem. It hurts so bad that they'd say that. I don't think that's really the problem. You know what I think the problem is? Verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart. You know what the problem is? You let it enter into your heart. Now, I was going to turn there, but I'm not because I told you 2 minutes and I want to stop right here. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You're literally, preacher, you're trying to tell me that the problem is that I let it affect me? Not trying to be harsh, but yeah, kind of. That meat can go in, it doesn't enter into my heart, it goes down my esophagus, it goes into my belly, and you know the rest of the story. Right? Doesn't affect me. But boy, when my heart is set on the wrong things and not on Jesus Christ, when my heart is set on the wrong things and not on the right things, then what they say and what they do and what they did goes right there, and it's like, oh! And then before you know it, you're coddling that thing, you're babying that thing, you're pampering that thing, you're thinking about that thing, and most people, what's in comes out. And now you're making a bigger mess. And nothing's really getting solved, and you're robbing yourself of a blessing and everybody else around you of a blessing. Or you're disciplined, you're experienced, you know, I'm not going to say a word, but it sits in there, and that heart's just gushed open inside, and it's bleeding out all over inside of you, and it's getting infected, and it hurts so bad, and you're just getting more and more dark, and more frustrated, and more hurt, and more snappy, and short-tempered, and aggravated, and when there's all kinds of blessings going on, you don't got a blessing. No matter how many blessings are coming your way, you don't see them, because inside you're hurting so bad because of what somebody did or said about you, or didn't do or didn't say. And what's the problem? It ain't them, because people are always going to be people, and if it ain't one person, somebody else it will be sooner or later. It ain't them, it's you. Not being mean. I'm not being mean. I'm preaching compassionately because I'm the guy that I'm talking about. Been there, done that, lost the t-shirt a long time ago. And I've realized people will talk about me, and that honestly is okay. And it ain't my job to say anything to him, good or bad. How you doing? Great. How are you? Good. How's the wife? Great. How's the kids? Great. How's your wife and kids? Good. Praise the Lord. Have a nice life. See you around. Leave it alone. Why? Because God's the judge. And I remember that he's been awful merciful, gracious, and kind to me. So I'm glad that's his character. And that he may be gracious and kind and merciful to my enemy. And I ain't going to let it into my heart. Why? Because my heart's set on him, and I want to keep it with all diligence, because I don't want all that going on in here. So don't take heed unto all the words that are spoken. Don't worry about it. You know what they said? Like my preacher said years ago, and I'll never forget it. I'm done. It's been more than 2 minutes. I apologize. Like my preacher said years ago, some of his guys came, man, they were wanting to fight. Yeah, preacher, they're talking about you. Oh, yeah, what'd they say? Oh, they said this, and they said some pretty heinous things. You got a girlfriend, and you got this, and you got that. And he said, why, they ain't telling the truth. If they're lying about you, it's a lie. What are you worried about? God knows the truth. When it really hurts is when they really get to know you personally, and what they say is true. And that really hurts. But don't let it into your heart. Why? Because you've said true things about them before. So leave it to God. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you tonight. Help us, Lord, to be protected by you, because we are so human and so prone to getting all caught up in foolishness and back and forth with each other and being hurt in church. And Lord, us people, dumb stuff comes out of my mouth. Lord, I know that. I'm so aware of my own lack of being able to control this stupid tongue of mine. And I'm working on it, Lord. And I need your help, and I appreciate you helping me. We all need your help. We need our hearts protected, Lord, because we allow things to enter into it that should not be entering into it. So purge us tonight, Lord. I sense in this room, Lord, more than one person that you're probably dealing with, and they've been hurt, frustrated, aggravated. And Lord, they need help getting that thing out of their heart. They need some heart surgery tonight so that they can heal up. And they can set their heart on you and keep their heart protected from all the issues that wind up just multiplying in our lives and the mess that comes when our heart's hurt and when it's not properly guarded and kept with diligence. So we ask your help for this tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Dismiss us with your blessing and bring us back here on Sunday. God, give us a good day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.